Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
Scripture reading for today's sermon comes from Jonah, the third chapter, the 10th verse through the 11th verse of the fourth chapter. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, He had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction He had threatened. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? This is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Have you any right to be angry?" Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you have a right to be angry about the vine?" "I do," he said. "I'm angry enough to die." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city?" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
May we pray. It is our desire, O Lord, this morning to love who you love, to serve who you serve, and to show mercy on whom you show mercy. We pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Every time the Word of God is read and is completed, we say, "The Word of God for the people of God," and you respond,
"Thank you, God."
Well, the Word of God came to Jonah, not just once, but twice. And God says to Jonah, "Go to that great city, Nineveh." Well, I'm sure when he said that, Jonah probably winced, because Nineveh and Israel didn't have a real good history. I don't know if God has ever called you and me to go to a place or to a people that we may have bad blood concerning. Sometimes that creates a lot of conflict and a lot of ill will, because oftentimes those persons we have conflict with, the best way to get along with them is not to try and get along with them at all. Unfortunately, God is in love with the whole world. He's got the whole world in His hands, we say. He's got the little bitty baby. He loves every color, red and yellow, black, white, and brown. Everyone is precious to God. And the Bible says it is not God's will for any to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So it is God's will for all people to come to know Him, to worship Him, to turn to Him, to repent of their ways, because there are none righteous, no, not one. We don't really find out why Jonah ran until later on. It's sort of like Star Wars, you know? It's not until the last show until we discover what the beginning was all about. You know what I mean? So here we have at the very end why Jonah flees. He flees because he doesn't want to go to Nineveh. You know, Nineveh folks, they were sort of nasty. They were like the Romans. I mean, the Romans were bad. They would hang you on a cross. But the Ninevites were even, they were right up there with the Romans because they would impale you. They would get a huge stick and stick in the ground and they would put you on it. They were ruthless. They would make a hurricane look tame. This is how ruthless and how evil they were. And oftentimes when we think of evil people and nations and those who are cruel to their own folks and stuff, we sort of get this high and righteous attitude that, you know, people like that just don't deserve to be, well, saved. People who are cruel to one another and who are cruel to other people, you know, they should get what they deserve. They should experience justice. They should get what's coming to them. Unfortunately, God doesn't think that way. I wished he did. Him and I would agree more upon it. And then I wouldn't think like I have to change these parables that he's always telling, you know, about the parable of the prodigal son that he got all wrong. You know, it was just the older brother that you were supposed to have the party for. Not the younger one. Get it right, Jesus. Or like those who were out and worked all day. You know, they should have got more money than those who only worked 1 hour. Get it right, Jesus. You're always telling things the wrong way. You're always turning things upside down. You're always confusing us, Jesus. You don't think like I think. Your thoughts and your ways are a lot different from my thoughts and my ways. I wonder how many of us can relate to Jonah when God calls us to do something that we turn and we run the other way because maybe we're afraid of the results. Maybe we're afraid of what he may ask us to do. I find it so interesting that Jonah believed that God was so merciful that if the Ninevites did turn, he would change his mind. And that was one reason why Jonah did not want to go. It makes me wonder about what Jesus asks in that parable in Matthew. Cannot I do what is right with what I have? Can I not give to people what I want to give? I mean, what is rightly mine? I mean, if I want to give someone an equal amount, if I have agreed, can I not do that? Do I not have the right to do that? Are you envious because I am generous? Matthew says to those who were very upset when they were put on equal standing with everyone else. You know, I don't always like to think that I'm just like everybody else. Do you like to think that you're just like everybody else? I don't know that I like to think that I'm just like everybody else. I know when I went to Emory for the first year, coming from Dayton, Tennessee, everybody knew my parents up there. For some reason in Atlanta, they didn't know them. So I became a number. And I was given a hunting license that was interpreted as a parking lot license. They didn't know me in Atlanta like they did in Dayton. They didn't call me by my first name. They didn't know my mom and dad. They treated me like everybody else. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you, that did not feel good. Did they not know who I was? No, and personally, they didn't care. Well, they did, but they were going to treat me just like everyone else. You see, the Bible says, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That word perfect means impartial. God sends the rain on the just and the unjust. The sunshine, the rain, His grace, His presence, His goodness. God is no respecter of persons. I don't know if I like that about God. I sort of like God to have favorites. Oh, he does show favor, but not favoritism. And we all have his favor. Because when Jesus died, he died for the whole world. So when Jonah goes, he outsmarts God by going in the opposite direction. But then God begins to dog Jonah. Has anyone ever dogged you? Have you ever tried to get away from somebody and you just couldn't get away from them? God can be like that at times. If he's calling you and me to a task that he wants us to do, we may say no, and he may take that no right then and there, but he may call again. He may say, well, I appreciate your no, but I'd like you to rethink that. He had a job for Jonah, and Jonah was scared of the results because he was afraid that Nineveh would listen to him and would change. And when he went there, he preached a hellfire and damnation sermon. In 40 days, Nineveh will fall. Well, he was hoping that nobody heard him. But they did hear him. From the greatest to the least, they turned and they repented. And they put on dust and cloth and repented and lamented and turn to God, and we hear today that God changed God's mind as to what he would do, and it made Jonah very mad. He was so mad he wanted to die. Have you ever been so mad because God was so gracious to someone that it just really ticked you off? Have you ever seen God be so gracious to someone that you or I didn't believe that God should have showed grace to, that he should have given them whatever they deserved? Today I am glad that I'm in a church that I can extend to people God's generosity. And the United Methodist women are a part of the reason I can do that. Miss Ann Stevenson, thank you so much for what you said about not wanting all the honor and the glory. But sister, God must speak to someone before all of us get on board. And God spoke to you. See, I know he spoke to you because you came to me. And you said to me, Randall, I have a burden on my heart. Something's keeping me up at night. I said, well, Ann, what is it? She says, we need to help these people in Texas. I said, yes, yes, we do, and we will. And she said, we need to do flood bucket kits. I said, well, that sounds good. She says, Circle 2 is going to lead us. I said, yes, ma'am. So you see, one envisions it, one dreams it, one casts the vision, we all catch it, and we all share in the glory and give it to God. So all of us get to share in the good news of what God said to Ann. Maybe God was saying it to all of us, but Ann heard and Ann spoke. So Ann leads us into this. So thank you, Ann, for listening and for sharing. I'm so glad that I'm able to extend God's graciousness to other folks. Wednesday, a gentleman who was released from Hayes Prison. He'd been in there for 11 years. He left the motel over here and came over here. He came in. He had all kind of beautiful ink marks on his hands and his neck and his chest. And he came in and he said, I need some help. I said, well, sir, come in and let's talk. I said, tell me about yourself. He said, well, I just got out of Hayes Prison. I said, well, how long were you there? 11 years. He told me what all he had done that racked up 11 years. And I said, well, tell me what you need. He said, well, sir, I need a place to stay. And I said, I can help you. I've got a place where you can stay. I said, check mark. That's one. Now, what else you need? I need something to eat. I said, I got some bags right here in the room that the United Methodist women put together for those who were needing something to eat. So I can get you something to eat. What else you need? He said, you're going to get me a place to stay? I said, yes, sir. He said, you're going to give me something to eat? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, maybe I should stop while I'm ahead. I said, no, man, keep going. And you see, I don't know whatever happened to him. All I know is that there's a seed planted in this man's head, and I hope heart, that there's a church in Lafayette. He may not even know the name. And some preacher who said yes to his needs and don't even know his name. But the name of the church isn't important, or the preacher, it's the God who put the church and the pastor there. And that maybe one day he'll remember. And that'll be a part of his change. But you and I, listening to Ann and doing what we're called to do, can bring change about in people's lives. United Methodist women are getting ready to do some sweets and treats. And for a diabetic, that is heaven. And what's going to be so great about this event is people who are going to be speaking at this event are the people that they support financially as a result of your bidding. And you will get to see firsthand how your money changes lives and helps people. I think this is going to be a tremendous event that raises thousands of dollars that's going to touch many, many lives. And you and I get to be a part of that event and that opportunity to say yes and to offer our help to them. Brothers and sisters, I am so proud to be your pastor. I have been in so many churches where there's been so many needs that the church just really wasn't either able or could really help. We would always send them somewhere else. But I am so honored to be in a church that when someone comes in that office in there and asks for help, I can say on your behalf and as a result of God's vessel in this community, yes, we can help. And you know what blows me away? You know what blows me away? It's when they are so shocked they can't believe we're saying yes. I've had so many to say, what? Did you just say yes? It reminds me of America's Got Talent. And when they hit that golden buzzer and the confetti falls, and they're on to the next stage. That's how I feel, brothers and sisters. When you and I can help someone in this community, I feel like we have pressed that golden buzzer and we have enabled them to go to the next step. Because United Methodist Women is all about empowering women, youth, and children. It's about empowering people who are the least, the less, and the lost. And you and I get to be a part of that. Thanks be to God. May we pray. Almighty God, whoever you may call, you have called us. And as Isaiah said, here I am, Lord. Send me. Wherever you may send us, O Lord, it may be a frightening place to face frightening people. Yet, O Lord, you said, I will go with you and I will care for you. May we believe that today. May we believe that tomorrow. And may we believe that forever. We ask this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you again for allowing us to worship with you on this Lord's Day. We look forward to worshiping with you again. God bless you.